Exploring and Applying the Parables, Parva Press, The Parable of the Prodigal Son, continued. The Homecoming, a repentance that became deep and real. Initially, the younger son's resolve to return home may have been due to his desperate need to secure bread, but there are clear signs that his repentance grew to be far deeper than that. In the far country, the younger son was pursuing his vision of a new life free from any restraint whatsoever. All was going according to his wildest dreams. Until the money ran out, and the famine struck. But now everything had changed. Faced with a famine, and with no one to help him, did he come to see that the apparent freedom of the far country was an illusion? A dazzling but empty mirage? That everything he'd so taken for granted and turned his back on, for his longed-for freedom, was actually of great value? At home, as the family and the hired servants worked together as a team, even in a famine, there was bread enough and to spare. Here, in his chosen far country, there was absolutely nothing. As a total outsider in a country faced with severe famine, no one gave him anything. He had made a terrible mistake, and his only chance of survival was to return home and cling to the one remaining thread of hope. Destitute and totally unworthy as he now was, he was still his father's son. Maybe his father would let him return, perhaps as a servant. The justice he deserved, or amazing grace, which he most certainly did not. For the prodigal son of the parable, there was still an insuperable barrier about which he could do nothing. There was only the slimmest of chances that his father would accept him, even as a hired servant. He had brought such public dishonour on his father, as he damaged the family's prosperity and totally wasted the family wealth. Would his father, let alone his elder brother and the men about him, ever let him return? Justice demanded that with rocks and stones, dogs and sticks, they would be determined to drive him away and make sure that he would never darken their doors again. With the same thinking, the murmuring scribes and Pharisees would have kept these tax-gatherers and sinners from the kingdom of God. The people with whom the Lord Jesus was mixing and even eating had brought shame on the nation. Some had greedily devoured their fellow countrymen's wealth, fattening themselves as they collected taxes for the Romans. Some of them, the sinners, had sold everything the Pharisees professed to stand for. Far from welcoming their rescue and forgiveness, the self-righteous scribes and Pharisees would have loved to have been able to drive these tax-gatherers and sinners far from God's Israel. For these reasons, the scribes and Pharisees listening to the parable would naturally expect the father to make a principled and righteous response to the younger son's attempt to return home. Although he was a son, they would be eager to see textbook justice applied impartially, and such a wayward son banished forever. But, to their horror, the parable takes a shocking twist. The father's intention is so very different from the strict course of justice that they were expecting. It mirrors the wonderful patience and mercy of the Lord God. Maybe the father had been waiting and watching for this moment, for he saw his ragged, returning son while he was still a great way off. Eastern fathers rarely run. It's a matter of dignity and position. However, deeply moved with love and compassion and a determination to get there first, he ran to rescue, restore, and forgive his precious, starving son. Here's the vital heart of the parable, the tempering, even replacement of the demands of strict justice with mercy and compassion. The scribes and Pharisees knew nothing of such compassion, of being moved to the depths of their being, as the original had it, but the underlying word for filled with pity or moved with compassion is moved to the depth of his being, to his bowels. It's a key word often used by the Lord as he illustrated what he was doing, and by the gospel writers as they record how the Lord Jesus was deeply moved by the lostness, pain, and suffering of those before him. It was out of compassion that he taught the great crowds, healed the sick, gave sight to the blind, hearing to the deaf, and set captives free. It was out of compassion that he was taking the trouble to help and rescue these tax collectors and sinners. Such compassion had no place in the thinking of the scribes and Pharisees. How could you perfectly keep the law if, out of compassion, you were constantly breaking it? By healing on the Sabbath, and as now, eating with sinners, this is exactly what the Lord Jesus was doing, and it caused the scribes and Pharisees great offence. However, compassion was the hallmark of our Lord's ministry, and has been the hallmark of his true followers ever since. A repentance that became deep and true. In love and pity for his son, the father's greeting was not a well-deserved, "Get out and never come back," or even a, "Go and wash and I'll see you later." But there and then, publicly, he restored and honoured his son. Filthy and stinking as he was, his father fell on his neck, embraced and welcomed him. Matthew Henry notes that as the younger son actually comes to confess his failure and unworthiness to be regarded as a son, he did so not before, in order to win his father's favour, but after his father had embraced and welcomed him. So clearly by this time his sorrow for his blindness and error had become both real and deep. This was a genuine repentance with a longing to be right with his father. Receiving such totally undeserved and overwhelming forgiveness, the younger son poured out his confession. It was against heaven, against the Lord God, that he had sinned as well as before his father. He had turned his back on his father and on his duties as a son. He had pampered himself and fulfilled his desires at his father's expense, and ultimately had wasted everything. He freely acknowledged that he had sinned against heaven, failed to honour his father, and had justly forfeited the privileges of being a son. The younger son offered no explanations, excuses, extenuating circumstances, or defences. He just said, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son." "Not," says Joseph Parker, "until we both feel and own our utter unworthiness, our nothingness, will he, our heavenly Father, put all heaven into our hearts." For us to come to that point can be as long a spiritual journey as it was a physical one for the younger son. A real and deep outpouring of the heart in tear-stained repentance, faith, and gratitude may well be brought about, as it seems to have been in this parable, by an overwhelming awareness of the greatness of our Heavenly Father's mercy and love toward us. The joy of heaven over one sinner who repents. With fine clothes, the father restored his son, not to slavery, but to sonship. With sandals and a ring, he gave him not a position of servanthood, but of authority in the household. Finally, to seal the welcome and forgiveness of his son, and to leave no room for doubt, he ordered a lavish, public celebration. Just as in the parables of the rescued sheep and recovered coin, there is great joy over the young man who is dead and is alive, family, friends, and neighbours rejoicing together over the son who was lost and is found. As in those parables, the music and feasting is a picture of the joy in heaven over one sinner who repents. What a beautiful picture of true repentance. It begins with the Holy Spirit opening our eyes to see our true and desperate situation before God and where it must lead. Such an awakening stirs us to turn our back on God-ignoring ways, and with feeble trust put our hopeless case before him and plead for his forgiveness. As with the younger son, such a genuine turning and seeking his forgiveness is met by the overwhelming mercy and generosity of our Heavenly Father. Totally unworthy as we are, He clothes us with the robe of righteousness, restores, forgives, and adopts us as the sons and daughters of his household, and calls all heaven to rejoice. However, until we are awakened, we will comfortably go on in our blindness, living in this world as if we were not accountable to God, and, like the young son, doing as we please, or else, like the religious leaders to whom Jesus was speaking, presuming that we are fine before the Lord God, and again doing as we please, but this time doing it wearing a cloak of law-abiding respectability and religion. As sinners or as Pharisees, we desperately do need to be enabled to see our true plight before Almighty God, the judge of all the earth, and our need to be right with him. Not until we do will we turn to him in genuine repentance and plead for forgiveness. Not until we do will we be given, freely given, that which is of greater value than anything this world can offer, the precious jewel of mercy, forgiveness, and adoption as a child of God, in and through his Son, the Lord Jesus, who told these searching parables. The kingdom of God is filled with totally undeserving sinners who have come home to the Lord God, who have cried to him for mercy, and have been given far more than any of us could ever hope for, let alone deserve. The true sons and daughters of God are made so by the totally unmerited favour of God, rescued, restored, forgiven, and brought into the family by grace alone, just like the prodigal son. The Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. Can you sing with John Newton, "Amazing Grace"? How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see. Or, like the scribes and Pharisees, does the very thought of being found a wretch before Almighty God appall you? Do you regard yourself as just fine and in need of no repentance? Heavenly Father, have mercy upon us. Show us with great clarity where we really stand before you. By your grace, enable us to turn our back on our deeply ingrained, self-seeking ways and run to you, knowing that our only hope lies in your unmerited, undeserved mercy and favour offered to us in and through your Son.